this feel like a lot of Tom Kelly?
No, not really. Again, I never lost sleep over thinking about, will they put me in the Hall of Fame? Will they retire my jersey? Because I go back to what I said initially, that that was never on my list. Is it a great honor? Absolutely, it's a great honor. But I didn't wait by the phone for Bob or Mark to call me. The body of work that I did was not perfect by any stretch, but I felt like it spoke for itself. And I'm not saying that from it spoke for itself to get me into the Hall of Fame. That was not for me to decide. What I'm thankful for is I had an opportunity and I made the most of it. Again, not perfect, but I made the most of it. And, you know, it's like when people say, you know, is he the greatest player or who is he in the top? I could care less about that. I really, you know, if I sat around and worried about if they placed me in the top 10 of all time or will I be in the Hall of Fame or will I get my jersey, then, you know, you worry yourself to death because not everyone believes what the next guy believes. And I believe that what I did speaks for itself. And I'm proud of that. That's good enough for me.
Fred, how emotional will that be for you tonight going out on the field with selling out in 4 hours?
You know, I don't think it really will be that emotional. And I think this is, and Mike said this, I think it's more of a celebration. It has, driving over here just now, I mean, it had a feel like that we were playing a game. And I think it'll have that feel to it throughout the night as we celebrate. This is a celebration, and I think for not just me, it's for all of us. Because these guys behind me definitely had a hand in a big hand in my success. And it, to me, it's about all of us. And I don't see any sad moments. I mean, this is – I'm ready to tee it up. I'd much rather do that than wear this, trust me. And I think these guys feel the same way. And I'm just going to kind of have fun with the night. I really am. Now, I hope I don't boo-hoo and cry, but I really hope I don't. But if I do, the heck with it, you know. So be it.
Fred, in all the years you were down here doing these news conferences, when you said goodbye to retirement, you did boo-hoo and cry.
Once. You made it sound like it was like 12 times.
But I think that's what people connected with you. You wore your emotions on your sleeve.
Absolutely. Well, it'll say I keep them in check. Then I didn't keep them too well in check. Actually, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I think the advice that I've gotten from people in regards to this night is to be yourself. Will that be read something off of a piece of paper or a teleprompter? I don't know. Do I have that in case? Yes. But more than likely, I just go off the cuff and just speak from the heart. I know what I want to say. The question is, how do I say it? And for me, I've worried myself sick thinking about how I do that when probably that's the easiest thing I'll do. And I don't know what that will be. I really don't. But I think much like the way I played, who knew what was going to happen?
The fans reacted to your departure. What does it mean to you that 70,000 or about 70,000 fans in about an hour and a half snapped up tickets, bought tickets to tonight's?
I was absolutely in awe when I got word that it sold out in an hour and a half or 2 hours. And my youngest daughter, who just recently turned 16, and I'm sure tonight you'll hear some of these things again, but I thought you have to know my daughter. She's really shy. She's timid. She doesn't get caught up in she'd rather stay home and watch TV than go to the ESPYs or come do this. And she comes home from school, and I'd already heard the news that they had sold so many tickets. And I wasn't going to say, hey, Breely, guess what? But she comes home, and uncharacteristically, she says, hey, Dad, did you hear they sold 67,000 tickets in an hour and a half? And I said, yeah. She goes, they must really like you. And for her, that's saying a lot. But it really, it says a lot about the whole situation. If there were ever any doubts prior to tickets going on sale, they're not anymore. And what a way to show that you're welcome back into the family. Just what an honor. And I'll be honest with you, and I mean no disrespect by this. I am more honored by that than by the Hall of Fame induction in itself. And I think that is such a tribute to the fans. And that's why Green Bay is Green Bay. Simple as that.
Brett, thinking about the fans tonight, you know, obviously their interest, but that moment when you are able to reconnect with them during the ceremony, how much have you thought about that moment and what are your expectations for that? How meaningful is that?
Well, it's very meaningful. How you portray that is the key. But again, instead of me worrying about it, I think you just let it go. You tell them how you feel, and you be genuine. And honestly, that's the only way I know how to do it. To me, that I don't really have a message in this speech. That's not really me, other than the people who were important to me in my stay here. The obvious people, coaches, administration, definitely the players. But there's so many people within this building that people don't know and would not know their names that are very important to me and are essential to me being here before you right now. And the fans, and the other point is the fans. I think there was really a connection. Maybe, I think at this point we all believe that there was definitely a connection, and we saw that with the ticket sales. We see that today. It's got a game atmosphere. There was a connection, and I think the players and the people who've been a part of this organization can honestly say that there is a connection with the fans here that you can't get elsewhere. And look, I played elsewhere. It was an awesome feeling to come back here as an opponent to witness what this is like for the other team. And I had a newfound respect, which is hard because I had a lot of respect for this place anyway, to see it from that perspective. And even though I was shaking in my boots when I came out of the tunnel, there was part of me that was like, damn, this is impressive. Tough, but impressive. And it is. And Mike can say that. He came back. I mean, it's, you want to win, but it's like, wow, man, you're up against a lot. And it's just a special place. And I want to relay that message to the people tonight. And coming back, how they've opened their arms is, it's not surprising. It really isn't.
Brett, when your time this is all over with, what do you think your future involvement will be with maybe coming back here or just things for the organization?
You know, we haven't discussed that. I how much I'll come back, I don't know. I'll say this, that, and I know you have kids. Our 16-year-old plays volleyball, and if I had two other kids, I don't think I could do it. Following them around is it's not like it used to be. It's a year-round job, and the things that you do for your kids, right? We'll do anything possible. So maybe we can get a volleyball tournament up here one weekend, and maybe Mark could set that up. It's the least he could do. But I don't know what, you know, I don't know. We haven't really talked about it. I'm thankful that I was invited back for this ceremony tonight and in November. And not to change the subject, but I'm hoping that Bart Sr., I've got my fingers crossed that he'll be here for that ceremony. And Bart Jr. has promised me he's going to be here, that we're getting him in tip-top shape. So I'm looking forward to that. What happens in between, I don't know.
What do you hope fans remember most about you, all the fans sitting up there and watching this?
One more time.
What do you hope they remember most about you?
Well, you know, it'd be interesting if you went out and asked. I'd kind of be interested to hear what they say, too. I mean, you'd probably have a potluck of answers. But, you know, for me, and again, some of this will be redundant, and you'll hear it again tonight, but I know we're here because of football. I understand that. I think what I did was pretty good. I think it was fun to watch. You know, it wasn't always great, but it was fun to watch. A good man who has definitely made a lot of mistakes, but I think what people relate to me is the genuineness and just real. I'd like to think that when they look at my career or watch me play, that they thought, that's the way I would do it. You know, if I could play, I would do it that way. And, you know, he's not polished in his interviews, but you know what? I wouldn't be polished either. And he's not polished in the way he plays. But I don't want to say I took pride in that. That's just the way I was. And I wish we would have won more games. I wish we'd have won more Super Bowls. But you know what? I did all I could possibly do. And it wasn't great all the time, but I know it was everything. And I don't look back and hold any regrets from that end, because I know I did all I could do. I just wish it would have been a little bit more, but it was all I could do. And I think people genuinely appreciate that.
You know, from your time as a player, when they have those alumni weekends, Don Hudson would come back and tell the stories of the Lambeau era and the Warriors, and those players would come back and talk about the greatness of the Lambeau era. Have you thought about moving forward, you know, to hold on to that legacy of what you guys did in the past?
Well, I haven't really thought a lot about it. And I think as time goes by, that will become more and more important. I found that, much like all of us, I'm sure, and I don't want to speak for everyone, but as you get older, you find that things that you thought really mattered at a younger age don't matter at all. Things that you worry about at 21, at 45, you're like, oh, my gosh, what an idiot. And you're kind of worried about things that or of importance that day or that week. And you don't really think about legacy and long-term things until later on. And what we did, I know, is very special. It's not four Super Bowls, but in my mind, it's equally as important because, as Bob said and some of the others, a resurgence, if you will, of this organization. It was always really a great organization, but it just kind of got, I don't want to say boring, but everyone was sort of used to just being okay at best. And everyone was living, I heard the Lombardi years, the glory days, I heard that so many times because that's what you had to hold on to. And taking nothing away from what those guys did back then, really, if anything, it's much respect to them. That's all you had to talk about. For us to be able to be a part in turning that around, and all of a sudden now you're just kind of used to winning. And, you know, the fear is that you don't get too used to winning. You stay hungry, and that's the key. That's what Mark is up against. But I take pride in that. Everyone's kind of used to winning now. It's not a bad thing. We were the ones who kind of started that off.
Rick, what was it like last night or whenever you came in? And then just going around Green Bay today, yesterday.
You know, it's funny because I got in late. Mike was mad. He blamed Frank for it. Some things never change. But we actually came in from L.A. We got in late, went right up and got to see all these guys. And it really didn't hit me. It was great to see them. But I didn't have that, like, back where it started type. Until I walked into the tunnel, you know, last night, I was telling Aaron, I walked in, like coming in from the field up the tunnel, took a left, went into the double doors. It was like I never left, and it was really a great feeling. It was kind of weird because I'd been here for a couple hours, had just walked off a Lambo, but it's kind of funny how things are triggered. But then it was kind of like a sigh of relief almost. Staying in the Radisson, Lord knows how many times we've done that, you know, and I almost felt like ordering me a cheeseburger and fries, and as I did before every game. But it started kind of settling back in as being normal again.
But if your dad and Reggie could be here tonight, what'd they say about you and your career?
Lord only knows what my dad would say. It probably wouldn't be good enough, you know. I thought he should play four more years, or who knows. I know he would be proud. I say that sort of jokingly, and the same thing with Reggie. Reggie gave me so. I mean, Reggie was phenomenal. Best, the greatest player I've ever played with, and that's saying a lot. I played with Deion Sanders in Atlanta. Played with tons of great players here. The greatest player I ever played with was Reggie White. The man could change the game. All you had to do was just chant Reggie a few times, and the left tackle, the right tackle was in for, you know, a world of hurt. But he was also a great leader, and you know, I don't know what I think Reggie would say, soak it in. And one of the things that he told me after he retired, he said, I'm telling you, one thing you're going to miss is not football. And I thought, he's crazy. I haven't missed football. I've missed Mike chewing my butt, rooming with Frank, you know, bus rides. And we used to have a good time cutting up with all the coaches. We never picked on Mike, but we were able to pick on some of the others. And that's what I miss. I don't miss 3rd and 15, you know, in the Metrodome, and we haven't won a game there in 8 years. I don't miss that. I miss the camaraderie with the guys. I miss the things that what Reggie told me I would miss. He's right. It's less about the game and more about the people.
A couple more questions.
When you talk about those people, you said last week that it was the perfect storm with Mike and Ron and Reggie and all the pieces. When you look back on that period, though, is it remarkable that all those people came together and made this team do what it did and helped you do what you did? I mean, are you just...
Well, remarkable is one way of putting it, but I think it happens, you know. I remember not that long ago, but Washington put together kind of a who's who of talent. If you remember, I think there was Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders, and there was a lot of guys. And I think Baltimore has tried that, and I may have the teams wrong, but then they go 8-8. They just we were such a good team, not because we were so great individually. You know, I'm here today, but back then, Mike had thought about making a switch numerous times. I knew that, so I wasn't all that then. We were made up of a bunch of guys who just honestly we loved to play. And we love to play together. And it just happened to be a great fit. But the reason it was a great fit, and he will never, never take the credit, is because of Ron Wolf. Isn't the mark of a great GM a man who can make it fit, find those guys? They don't have to be star players, but they have to fit what we're trying to do. I didn't know what we were trying to do. I didn't understand what 72X shallow cross meant. You know, Mike, he called the plays and tried to find out what worked. He made it work. It took time. But Ron had to find the guys that fit. Frank Winters is a perfect example. He'd gotten lost in the shuffle. He wasn't drafted. He followed Marty Schottenheimer around. He's a deep snapper. No one knew who he was. He was a Plan B free agent. They don't even have that anymore. And now he's in the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame. That's something that Ron Wolf saw, as well as so many other players that I don't want to say were cast-offs, because he was able – it was a melting pot of so many different personalities and different characteristics, but it sure worked.
Is there a final question in your career that sticks out in your mind that kind of sums up your time as a Green Bay Packer?
Well, boy, that's a tough one. Yeah, I do have a lot. It sort of runs together after a while. I think there's not really one particular moment. I think for really us, when we lost in Dallas, it seemed like we lost every year for a long time. There was one particular time when Ron, on the sidelines, we were in old Cowboy Stadium, and he may remember better than I, or we both actually maybe don't remember all that well, but he came over, and it was a tough loss. I think it was one of those that we almost won. There was like one where we got blown out, but we were really close, and they were good. It may have been, you know, I think we lost maybe 3 years in a row there or something. It seemed like that. And Ron came over, and Ron, he said more tonight than he's probably said in a year. But he said, we're going to get these guys. I don't remember verbatim what he said, but it was kind of like, damn, Ron's talking? You know? It was E.F. Hutton, you know? But that was kind of, to me, I didn't really want to play Dallas again. I did, but I didn't. You know, I wanted them to have a couple of injuries maybe and take a wrong turn or whatever. But we were so close. And I didn't know how close we were, because the next year we were there. But that was kind of – we just kind of got beat up. We were so close, and we just were hungry. And I'll say this about Mike, I'll say a lot of stuff tonight. But Mike, I think the world of him as a man and as a coach. One of the things that he was so great at doing, he was really great. He was great at chewing my butt too, by the way. But he was so great at making us believe we could win against anyone. And I say that because I played 20 years, and long after Mike had left, I remember sitting in meeting rooms, whether it be here or elsewhere. And as I got older, I started seeing things like a coach. I'd been around as long as a coach. In fact, some of my coaches were younger than me. And I remember sitting there, and I'd be looking at the other team's roster and their record, and I knew all about them. And I would think to myself, we don't stand a chance in hell against this team. And I was right. But I wouldn't tell anyone that. I would get in the huddle. I would, at practice, say, look, hey, we can beat these guys. And I started thinking, I guess that's what Mike did, you know, because I believed it. I'm like, damn, I think we can beat them. And then, you know, you play long enough, you start thinking, I don't know. But the mark of a good leader, good coach, great leader, is one that can make you believe. I mean, it's one of the – there's other things too, but he made us believe we could win those games and we could beat anyone. And I think that was a huge part of our success as well.